This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, September 5th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. Of course, football starts tonight. We'll do NFL picks for the season in a little bit. But first, the collapse of the New York Yankees, really no other way to describe it. 7-19, their last 26. They lose to Tampa Bay yesterday, Tampa 5, Yankees 2 down in Tampa, while the Orioles are hammering Toronto. And today the Yankees wake up for the first time in about 3 months, tied for first. No longer the leaders in the AL East, they're now tied, or no longer the sole leaders, tied for the lead. Yesterday, the Yankees get off to a good start. Robinson Cano soundly criticized in New York for not diving for that base hit that wound up driving in the game-winning run the day before. Worse, I thought, was his failure to run on a maybe line drive, maybe short hopper, which turned out to be a short hopper to third that was knocked down but not caught cleanly by the third baseman. And then Cano jogging to first was still thrown out easily. Cano has that bad habit. He's one of those guys, doesn't run hard. Even yesterday, man on first, hits a ground ball back to the pitcher, is thrown out at first by 10 feet. Now, is he hurt? On a double play, 1-6-3 double play. Now, is he hurt? He says yes. Some people think no. But again, you got to lay out with a man on second in a key game two nights ago. You got to lay out and block the ball, keep it in the infield. You know the rules. Don't let it get by, get on your belly, stop the ball, but he didn't do that. And then worse, I thought, just the failure to run to first. I mean, it's just a disgrace. But I'm guessing now, but I'll say half the players, maybe more, just don't bother to run hard to first nowadays. It's just the way it is. But yesterday, Tampa 5, Yankees 2. Yankees fall into a first-place tie with the Orioles. We'll get to the Orioles in a minute. Cobb was very good for Tampa Bay, Alex Cobb. Yesterday, record now 9-8. Yesterday, 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. He pitched very well. Peralta came in for the 8th inning, hold, if you will. Fernando Rodney, unbelievable, best changeup in baseball, gets his 42nd save of the year, 42 for 44. Yankees couldn't do anything against Cobb after Cano. Freddie Garcia gets the loss. He's 7-6. Jennings and Upton go back-to-back for Tampa after Longoria had hit a 2-run homer earlier in the game. So you got to give Tampa credit. They're climbing back into it. You got to give Baltimore credit. Buck Showalter working his magic again. Tampa 5, Yankees 2, Yankees 76-59, Tampa 75-61. As the Yankees are losing to the Rays, the Orioles are up in Toronto crushing the Blue Jays 12-0 to put their record at 76-59 as well. Zach Britton, who's been great for the Orioles, he's now 5-1. Villanueva takes the loss for the Blue Jays, 7-5. And what can you say about Mark Reynolds? Killed the Yankees over the weekend, hits another home run yesterday, 3-for-4, 4 RBIs, 2 runs scored. Markakis with 3 hits, Reynolds with 3 hits, Davis the DH with 3 hits, Machado with 3 hits. The Orioles get 18 hits, including the home run by Reynolds. Orioles 12, Blue Jays nothing. And again, the Orioles have climbed all the way back, and they're for real, folks. I mean, you know, everybody, at least in New York, is saying, the Orioles are the Orioles, but they're not the Orioles. They're much better than the Orioles of yesterday because they have pitching and hitting, and Showalter has done it again. He set the Yankees up, left. Joe Torre came in and became a Hall of Fame manager. He set Arizona up, left. And then the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees in the 2001 World Series. Now, it strikes me as a tougher chore in Baltimore only because of the division that Baltimore is in. You know, the Red Sox now have thrown up the white flag with that trade, but still, Tampa Bay is very good. The Yankees are very good. But the Orioles are right there. Give Buck Showalter all the credit in the world. I would think he's a candidate for manager of the year. A couple of other games in the American League to take a look at. The Angels clinging to their playoff hopes go to Oakland and beat the Athletics. Angels 6, Athletics 1. Zach Greinke becomes 4-2. As an Angels pitcher, Parker takes the loss. He's 9-8. No home runs for the Angels. Brandon Moss, a pleasant surprise for Oakland, and I think one of the sleeper keys for them making the playoffs. Moss hits his 16th home run, and he's got 16 home runs in 188 at-bats. Give that a little thought. That's pretty unbelievable. Angels 6, Oakland 1. Trout with an RBI and two hits, still hitting .333, still a legit MVP candidate. Torrey Hunter hitting .304. Albert Pujols with two hits yesterday, his average up to .288. Morales, Kendry Morales, 3-for-5. He's hitting .275. So the Angels do have that lineup. They get good pitching yesterday from Greinke, 7 innings pitch, 4 hits, 1 run earned, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. Again, Greinke now 4-2 as a member of the Angels. Parker pitched well as well, 7 innings pitched, 8 hits, 2 runs, both earned, no walks, 5 strikeouts. But he's the hard luck loser. He's 9-8. Angels 73-63, climbing back into the wild card and the division. The Athletics at 76-59. And then just, we'll mention this for the bizarre factor. Yesterday, the Twins, the lowly Twins, 55-80 before yesterday's game, go to Chicago to play the White Sox, who are battling for first in a playoff spot. But as baseball would have it, the Twins get 7 in the – White Sox take a 3-0 lead. The Twins get 7 in the second and 10 in the fifth, and they coast to an 18-9 win over the White Sox. Again, how do you make this stuff up? Diamond, your winner. 7 innings pitched, 4 earned runs, but again, with incredible run support, Diamond the winner. He's 11-6 with a 3.35 ERA. Quintana takes the loss. He only pitched an inning in the third, gave up 7 earned runs in an inning in the third. And then it got worse. Philip Humber, he of the perfect game, pitched a third of an inning and gave up 8 earned runs for the White Sox. In fact, Dwayne Wise, their center fielder, came in to pitch the ninth and actually pitched the scoreless ninth. So he's good for the season. 1 inning pitched, he's got a 0 ERA. Maybe they'll use him later. But the Twins hammer the White Sox. Twins 18, White Sox 9. Dumit, the left fielder, gets 3 hits. He's hitting .284. Ben Revere and Willingham and Justin Morneau and Plouffe and Escobar all get 2 hits for the Twins as well. Dumit hits his 15th home run. Parmalee hits his 5th of the year. Twins 18. White Sox 9. White Sox drop to 73-62. We'll get to the standings in a little bit. A few other games quickly in the American League. Just brief recaps. The lowly Indians beat the Tigers 3-2. Masterson, a very good pitcher, gets the win 11-12. Porcello takes the loss. He's 9-11. Perez, who is having a really good season for the Indians, now meaningless as they're 20 games under .500. Hard to believe. He gets his 34th save. Miguel Cabrera hits his 34th of the year for Detroit, but the Indians win 3-2. The Royals beat the Rangers 6-3. Guthrie gets the win. He's 4-3. Harrison takes the loss. He's 15-9. Holland gets the save. His 11th. Light power hitting. Elvis Andrus hits his 3rd home run of the year. For KC, Gordon hits his 11th. Giovatella hits his 1st of the year. Royals 6. Rangers 3. And the lowly Red Sox get 4-6 to beat the Mariners in Seattle. Trailing 3-0, Red Sox come back to win 4-3. John Lester gets the win. He's 9-11. Bevan takes the loss. He's 9-9. Barely gets his 2nd save of the year for the Red Sox. It's gotten really bad for the Red Sox, of course. Cody Ross with a 3-run homer, his 20th of the year. LeVon Way, his 1st of the year for the Red Sox. For Seattle, Gutierrez hits his 3rd, and Sager hits his 16th of the year. Red Sox 4, Mariners 3. Those are all your American League games from yesterday. We'll go to the standings right now for the American League. And again, Baltimore, 76-59, tied with the Yankees for first place. Whoever falls behind has one of the two wild card spots along with the Oakland Athletics. Oakland also with a 76-59 record. So if you're 76-59, you're in the playoffs either as the AL East leader or as a wild card. Tampa Bay only a game and a half behind the Yankees and the Orioles. They're 75-61, two in the loss column, obviously, and also only a game and a half out of the wild card. So Tampa's in the mix with that good pitching and Longoria back hitting and B.J. Upton awakening. I think Tampa Bay is going to make the playoffs. Boston and Toronto now long out of it. In the Central, the White Sox, despite getting hammered, still have a one-game lead over the Tigers, who also lost. White Sox 73-62, Tigers 72-63. Tigers a game behind the White Sox in the Central, four out of a wild card spot, so they've got two ways to go. The Royals, Cleveland, and Minnesota now long out of it. In the West, Texas 80-55, easily now the best record in the American League. Oakland 76-59, four games behind Texas, four in the loss column, but as we discussed, they do have a wild card spot as well. The Angels trying to get there on two fronts, 7.5 to jump over Texas and Oakland strikes me as a very big, difficult task, but they are only 3.5 out of a wild card. They're 10 games over 500. And Seattle, despite playing well in the second half, only five games under. They're 15 out in the West and they're 11 out of a wild card. So they're, for all intents and purposes, out of the race as well. Want to go to the National League now. Number of games to look at in the National League, although we really didn't have a game where two contenders were playing as we did have in the American League. But the Pirates trying to get back on track, trying to get back into it, beat the lowly Astros 6-2. Rodriguez gets the win. He's 10-13. Lyles takes the loss. He's 3-11. Pirates 71-64, trying to stay relevant. The Nationals hammer the Cubs. The Nationals 83-52, best record in baseball. Of course, you know about the Strasburg fiasco, but Nationals get two in the first, three in the second, three in the fourth, coast to an 11-5 win over the Cubs. Edwin Jackson gets the win. He's 9-9. Roussin gets the loss. He's 0-2. For Washington, Ian Desmond hits his 20th, Zimmerman hits his 18th, LaRoche hits his 27th, Flores hits his 5th, and Moore hits his 8th. Alfonso Soriano, an excellent baseball player in my opinion, going back to his Yankee days, who just got lost in Chicago, does hit his 26th home run of the year excuse me, yesterday. Nationals 11, Cubs 5. Cincinnati beats the Phillies 2-1. Latos, a key factor for the Reds, now 12-4. Kendrick drops to 8-10. Chapman gets his 35th save. And Jay Bruce hits his 31st home run of the year, having a heck of a year for Cincinnati. Again, they're 83-54, and they've been doing it for a long time now without Joey Votto. Cincinnati 2, Phillies 1. Cardinals keeping their hopes alive, beat the Mets 5-1. Jaime Garcia doesn't give up an earned run in eight innings. He's 4-6. Matt Harvey takes the loss for the Mets. He's 3-4. Cardinals 5, Mets 1. Padres beat the Dodgers 6-3 with 3 in the 11th inning. Lane gets the winner relief. He's 1-0. Eli takes the loss. He's 0-1. Gregerson gets a save, his 4th. Andre Ethier with a huge home run for the Dodgers to tie the game, but D'Onofrio and Grandel, the big home run for Grandel, his 7th of the year, are the difference as the Padres beat the Dodgers 6-3. Diamondbacks trying to eke back into the mix, beat the Giants in San Francisco 8-6. Colmenta gets the win, he's 4-3. Contos takes the loss, he's 1-1. Hill hits his 21st home run and gets 5 hits for Arizona. Brandon Belt hits his 5th for the Giants. Diamondbacks 8, Giants 6. The Rockies shut out the Braves. Rockies going nowhere. Braves fighting for a playoff spot. Torres pitched great, gets the win. He's 4-1. Tommy Hansen takes the loss. He's 12-8. Carlos Gonzalez hits his 22nd for Colorado. Pacheco hits his 4th for Colorado. And the Brewers beat the Marlins 8-4. Lowe gets the win. He's 6-4. Dunn takes the loss, 0-2. Axford with his 24th save for a sub-500 Brewers team. For Milwaukee, Aoki hits his 7th. Bianchi hits his 3rd. For the Marlins, a lost season for them. Stanton hits his 30th home run of the year. And Hernandez hits his 1st of the year. Brewers 8, Marlins 4. Brewers 66-69. will not get into the mix. Marlins 60 and 76 long ago left the building as a playoff contender. We'll get to the standings right after the break. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
With high quality, with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want grade hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transfer warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Quickly to the NL standings. Washington Nationals, best record in baseball, 83-52. Now a commanding 7.5-game lead over Atlanta. 8 in the loss column. Atlanta has one of the two wild cards. Philadelphia, the Mets, and Miami now long out of it. Philly 9 games out of a wild card spot, but again, I think just too much to overcome for them. They're 65-71. Cincinnati leads the Central 8.5 over St. Louis, but St. Louis now has the second wild card spot as well at 74-62. The Pirates 71-64, 11 games behind Cincinnati, but only 2.5 out of a playoff spot. And again, if you want to dream a little, if you're a Milwaukee Brewers fan, they're 66-69. They're 7.5 out of a wild card spot. The Cubs in Houston long out of it on both counts. In the West, the Giants, despite that trade where you thought the Dodgers were immediately going to move to a commanding lead in the West, it's the opposite. The San Francisco Giants 77-59 lead the Dodgers by 4.5 game. The Dodgers 4.5 out, 5 in the loss column, but also only 1.5 out of the wild card. Arizona trying to stay relevant at 67-70, 10.5 behind San Francisco, but an outside chance they'd have to make a real run at the wild card where there are 7.5 games out of the second wild card spot. San Diego and Colorado just having bad seasons, frankly. They're out of it a long time ago. Now, before we get to the NFL, just a few miscellaneous things. U.S. Open, they've had a lot of rain in New York yesterday, had some more today. Andy Roddick was supposed to start against Del Potro. You know Roddick is retiring after his next loss. Yesterday he played. Del Potro was they were in a tiebreak in the first set when the rains came. Was supposed to start today at 11. Last I saw at 11:20, they still hadn't started any of the matches. They were squeegeeing the courts out at Flushing Meadow because they just have had a ton of rain in New York yesterday and earlier this morning. Victoria Azarenka yesterday, the number one seed on the women's side, beat Samantha Stosur, the number seven seed, 6-1, 4-6, 7-6. First time Azarenka has been the Final Four at the U.S. Open. And a lot of other top players playing today, Serena Williams, Maria Sharapova, who's down 4-0 in the first set, they resume today. Federer, Djokovic, Andy Murray, all playing today at the U.S. Open. But again, at least as of less than an hour ago, they were still in a rain delay, but expected to get some things done. I live 10 miles from Flushing Meadow. It's drizzling where I live right now. So we'll see if they can get those matches in. I suspect that they will, although it might be in and out for most of the day. Quickly to college football before we go to the NFL, and I'll give you the full picks for the season in the NFL today. AP poll came out, and as you probably would have guessed, they're making a big deal out of this, but Alabama jumped USC for number one in the AP poll, but Alabama killed Michigan. Michigan number eight in the country, Alabama number two at the time. So while USC won, you know, they slaughtered Hawaii, you can't compare Michigan and Hawaii. So Alabama now the number one team in the country according to the AP poll, USC 2, LSU, Oregon, Oklahoma, Florida State, Georgia, Arkansas, South Carolina, and West Virginia round out the top 10. What's strange to me is Michigan drops from 8 to 19 off a loss to the team that is clearly the number one team in the country right now. Do they have a good chance to win it all again? I think they do. I mean, the toughness of the SEC and their schedule and the Alabama's ability to beat up on really good teams like Michigan and LSU without Tyrann Mathieu, you know, I think it sets up well for Alabama. Again, USC, maybe Florida State, strikes me as the only two teams who would even have a chance. One other thing relating to USC, there's a guy named Scott Schindler who is charged with 60 felony counts for a corruption scandal out in California, and he says that he gave Joe McKnight, the former star USC running back, a car and a plane ticket, and former USC basketball player Devon Jefferson $3,700 cash between 2007 and 2009 to maybe do some marketing for some private business venture that Schindler had. But we'll have to see if this leads to a new investigation of USC. Obviously, the first time in 3 years now they can go to a bowl game this year. And Lane Kiffin has done a great job keeping that program together and having Matt Barkley stay and now having a shot to be number one. But we'll have to see where that investigation goes. But those are the claims of one Scott Schindler, who, again, is under indictment for 60 felonies and is probably looking to make a deal somewhere. Now to the NFL. Starts tonight. Cowboys go to the Meadowlands to play the Giants. And, you know, after watching the Giants simply being unable to move the ball against the Patriots' second-team defense. The Giants were terrible rushing last year, but hey, they won the Super Bowl, and they've been terrible rushing this year. I think they're down a little in the wide receiver area, although a lot of people think with Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks, they have a fantastic set of receivers, and don't get me wrong, those guys are really good, but there's no Mario Manningham. There's no Jake Ballard. You recall Ballard last year, you know, they brought him in as a blocking tight end. He turned out to have magic hands. I mean, some of the catches he made were unbelievable. And interestingly, of all teams, the Patriots wound up signing Ballard. But again, he did have a severe injury in the Super Bowl. He's on the PUP list now. He's not going to play now. But I think the loss of Manningham and the loss of Ballard and the lack of a running game is going to really hurt the Giants. Having said that, originally I thought maybe the Cowboys could beat the Giants, but the game is at the Meadowlands. The Cowboys just seem to find a way to lose these games. And arguably most important, Jay Ratliff is definitely not playing. Ratliff, their nose tackle, is a very, very good player. He's got a high ankle sprain. He's definitely out. And you don't even know if Jason Witten's going to play. Now, it's the old, if he can walk, he can play. Jason Witten, a tough guy, but he lacerated his spleen, which, of course, is not an injury you want to mess with. He was supposed to have a CT scan yesterday. No word yet at least as of this morning before we went on the air, as to whether or not Witten is going to play. If there's any way he can, he will. But again, without Ratliff to anchor that defense and playing at the Meadowlands, I think the Giants are going to find a way to win this game. You know, both teams have their issues. As we said, David Wilson made the Giants. DJ Ware was released. Giants have some issues at left tackle. They have some issues in the secondary. Dallas had their issues in the secondary last year. They have pretty much a brand new secondary. So there's certainly holes in both of these teams. But I think the Giants somehow find a way. Eli Manning is an elite quarterback now. If you doubted that before, and I certainly did doubt it before last year, he certainly has shut up a lot of people. A couple of other quick NFL notes. Marshawn Lynch has back spasms. He will not play on Sunday for Seattle against the Arizona Cardinals. He's probably going to miss that game. David Girard released by the Dolphins. Tannehill the starter. Moore will now be the backup. David Girard released. Ryan Clark will miss the opener against Denver. Pittsburgh safety, you probably know about it. He has that sickle cell trait condition, and it makes him virtually impossible to play. Can't breathe in the higher altitudes in Denver, so he's out, and that's a blow to the Steelers. And Joe Hayden got a four-game suspension for taking Adderall. Joe Hayden, an excellent cornerback. He's been Adderall banned by the National Football League. It's on that list, and Hayden took it, and he will now be suspended for four games. Quickly now, NFL picks for the year. In the NFC, I'll take the Eagles to win the division with the Giants to make it as a wild card. You know, the Eagles, had the Giants lost the last game of the year, the Eagles would have been in the playoffs last year at 8-8. They played very well down the stretch. They arguably could have won the Super Bowl as an 8-8 team. Don't forget the Giants. Although they won their division, they won the Super Bowl as a 9-7 team. But I'll go Eagles in the East with the Giants winning one of the wild cards. The Packers in the North with the Bears getting one of the wild cards. The Falcons in the South. And I think the scariest team now is going to be the 49ers. And I think they have a very easy road to the NFC West division crown. So it's Eagles, Packers, Falcons, 49ers win their respective divisions. Giants and Bears are the wild card in the NFC. In the AFC, I think it's a walkover again for the Patriots in the East. The North is the toughest division in football. I think the Ravens get the job done, and the Steelers and the Bengals make the playoffs as wild card teams. In the South, I think the Texans have an easy road to the playoffs. And in the West, I'm going to take the Broncos. I mean, that's an up-for-grab division, but I don't think because it's a great division. I just think because there's question marks. You know, you thought Carson Palmer was going to lead the Raiders to the promised land. That didn't work out. So in the AFC, I'll go Patriots, Ravens, Texans, Broncos. And I know it's unusual, but two teams from the North to be the wild cards, the Steelers and the Bengals. Super Bowl, hard to talk about so early in the year, but I'll go 49ers over the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I think the 49ers were very close last year. They had a couple wide receivers, including Randy Moss, who, if he's not as good as he once was, and I'm sure he's not, is still a guy you have to double. He's still a great decoy. My guess is he can still catch a deep ball. So we'll go 49ers over the Patriots in the Super Bowl. We'll do some more NFL, of course, on Friday, but the game tonight, Cowboys at Giants, that's a national game on NBC starting at 8:30 Eastern. And again, I think I'm a Giants guy, lifelong Giants fan, lifelong New York guy. I thought the Cowboys could beat them, but then you hear no Ratliff. They're playing at the Meadowlands. You don't know about Jason Witten. So I think the Giants find a way because they just seem to find a way against the Cowboys. Your sports on TV today, Major League Baseball Network is regional, either the Yankees at Tampa Bay or Baltimore at Toronto. That's the MLB Network, 7 o'clock Eastern. Obviously, Yankees, Tampa, and Baltimore all fighting for the top spot and the two wild cards, frankly. So those will be interesting games to watch. NFL, as we said, Dallas goes up to the Meadowlands to play the Giants. NBC national game, 8:30, first game of the year. And tennis, weather permitting, the U.S. Open quarterfinals in New York, ESPN2, scheduled to start at noon, and then again tonight at 7 p.m. That's your TV. Obviously, Dallas Giants, very important. But I think if you're a New York fan, you're watching a lot of Yankees-Tampa, which, again, starts an hour and a half earlier. And, frankly, the football game scheduled for 8:30 probably doesn't start till 8:40. So the Yankee game, much more important, but football's football. And Cowboys and the Giants tonight at the Meadowlands. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.